when in your family that you grew up in, did who made most of the decisions?
I'd say my mother.
Mm-hmm.
My father was, he just seemed to go along with everything she'd say. He had a terrible temper, and a lot of times he'd argue with me, but she seemed to be the domineering one.
Mm-hmm.
And if my father and I would get into an argument, she would go off into hysterics, and sometimes my father and I were really arguing pretty, shall we say, vigorously. She'd always claim, I'm having a heart attack. Oh, my God, my heart, my heart.
Mm.
And we'd stop. What's the matter with you? And that went on for a while, and pretty soon that didn't mean anything to us. We'd go ahead and argue anyway.
What kinds of things would you argue with?
You know, I've thought about that, and I'll be gosh darn if I can remember. It seemed like the arguments would always start at the dinner table, and I can never, ever remember what started, except my father would roar up out of his chair and all swearing at me and things like this. And this went on until, I think the worst argument I can remember, and it had such a demoralizing effect on me. I was about 18 or 19, and I can't remember what started. I just remember, as an answer to him, I said, well, I'm just as good as anyone else. And he was screaming at me, no, you're not as good as everyone else. And I would destroy me. I am too. And I just, you know, would be crying. And I would leave the table, and he would chase me to my room, and I would lock the door. Sometimes I'd had to skip dinner until he went off someplace else, and then my mother would sneak a plate into me.
Mm.
Or he would slap me out of the chair, this sort of thing. But like I said, until about the time I was 18 or 19, this went on. And then for that one argument where he says, I'm not as good as anyone else, or he started to hit me, and I remember picking up the milk bottle saying, if you hit me, I'm going to hit you with a milk bottle, and he never threatened me again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seemed like everything quieted down.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not bitter toward him in my thoughts about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at this day and age, I'm not bitter for some reason or other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was just the way he was. You know, I just look at, well, that's the way he was. It's not the way I want to be. And it's not the way I want my kids to live or anything,
mm-hmm.
but I just remember him always these confounded battles.
Mm-hmm.
My mother would do psychological warfare where I was concerned. She could always build up this big speech, and I'd think about it, and she could always sway me
mm-hmm.
through words.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What kind of relationship did you have with your mother?
It was great up until the time I got married. And, in other words, she and I had a very good relationship. I, you know, would talk to her an awful lot. Except that when I met my husband, the fellow I married, I used to tell her about all my dates. But when I met my husband, for some reason or other, I just started to clam up. I didn't want to share anything we did. If we went to a movie, if we went to the museum, or if we had a conversation, what we did in school, I didn't want to share that with her for some reason. I just started to clam up. You know, nothing that I thought out ahead of time, just started to clam up.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got married, she sort of, I don't know, she sort of became unraveled. You know, she thought, well, the first night I was away, she thought she heard me at the door, and she got up and said, oh, Betty's at the door. I've got to let her in. And everything was okay for a while, except I think it took her really a long time to really accept my husband as my husband.
Mm-hmm.
That really took a long time.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that growing up, I mean, that you would talk to a lot. Did the two of you spend a lot of time together?
Ma'am, let's see. Up until the time I got involved in school, you know, and I have homework and things like that, yeah, I'd say she and I spent a lot of time together.
Mm-hmm. Were there things that your family would do together, or was it
the
three of you would do as a group?
Yeah, they were pretty good. You know, we may have had our scraps and so forth, but I remember going on family picnics, you know, just the three of us. We used to do that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever we moved to a new place, I thought my mother was really great in making us see what was interesting around the place. Like when we first went back to Virginia, we would always take these little rides on the weekend, and we just saw a lot of Washington, D.C., or we saw a lot of Virginia, but we would drive around. We'd go to all the historical things.
Mm-hmm.
And so she would really cover a lot of the area.
Mm-hmm.
And she would point it out. We'd go into places, well, take a look at this, and this was that, and so forth. And I think that's what's given me my interest in, say, buildings. If I travel now, I do the same thing. I will look at buildings. I'll go off side streets. And mm-hmm. if there's a museum, gee, you have to go into a museum. And I think I sort of got brainwashed, you know, mm-hmm. from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. But we'd have our little, you know, tours that way, family picnics. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'd go to a movie together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it wasn't too bad that way. Also have our family fights together.
Are there things that you did, especially with your father, say...
Anything in particular with him, say, just individually?
Yeah.
No, not really. There was a couple of times... Let's see now. Okay, we were living in Seattle, and I must have been in my late teens, because I remember I had gone to school in the morning, and I met him downtown... one day, and he and I went to a movie, and it was one of these theaters where, instead of having an intermission, they would have a vaudeville show, and it was the Palomar Theater, and they had a great stage thing, and I remember he and I sitting there, and I can remember some woman coming out and putting this particular song, and I really was impressed by it, and I thought, I think that's about the only thing my father and I ever did together, and I just remember this, you know, sort of nostalgia in a way, sort of a sad memory in a way. The only thing my father and I ever did, just he and I. Because
mm-hmm.
my mother didn't particularly care for us to do things together. She sort of kept me all to herself. Mm-hmm. And if I did anything, if I talked to my father too long, she would get a little upset over that. I was mm-hmm. supposed to be all hers.
Mm-hmm.
There was a possessiveness, you know. Mm-hmm. You're mine and you keep your hands off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you... Was there, in being an only child growing up, was there a sort of sense of that, of her...
Oh, yeah. I thought, I remember being aware that she was very possessive, and it was on rare occasions that I could stay overnight with another girl. You know how girls will have their friends and so forth. You can have pajama parties or things like that, or mm-hmm. a group can go to a movie. Well, if I did things during the day, okay, I could do that. But, like, stay overnight, no, I can't do that. And I'd have invitations, maybe I could go spend a weekend with someone and their family someplace, but no. And she even treated the family cat this way. She kept the cat in a little harness and she'd keep it tied to the back porch. Then she'd bring the cat inside a lot of times. And I'd say, why can't I go stay overnight with, you know, so-and-so? Well, don't you think I think more of you than I do of the cat? And I take care of the cat by not letting it run all over the place, because that'd be simply terrible. And so I wouldn't get to go anywhere. So that would be the extent of that.
Mm-hmm. Did she and your father get in the same kinds of arguments that you and your father did? Or?
Yeah, they have a sort of argumentative relationship. Mm-hmm. They never got divorced, and they, well, gosh, how long were they married? I know it was over 40 years or so. Well, he died in 1968,
mm-hmm.
and she died just last November.
Mm-hmm.
And... they stuck it out. I mean, there was all sorts of arguments and stuff like that, but I don't know, there must have been something that kept the two of them together.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Was he home much, or was he...
Oh, yeah, he was home a lot, you know, outside of what he did when he was in service or having to go overnight maybe on something to do with that. You know, he was always around.
Mm-hmm.
He never go out and drink beer with the fellas or anything like that. In fact, I don't even think he drank beer around the house.
You mentioned going out to the vaudeville type shows. Were there other things that you did for entertainment when you were growing up?
With my father, or just...
Just in general?
Yeah. Movies. Nothing particularly until I got into school. And I'd say my last year of high school, I was becoming less shy, but it wasn't until I started college and I would join a hiking club. And I got off and there was a couple of other clubs I joined, and I started on that. And then, of course, like I said, my shyness started to dissolve a little bit, and then I became more, you know, more active. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe it was because I got a little bit older. Like when I was 16 and graduated from high school, and being kept so close to home, I just wasn't aware of a lot of different
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm. Did you listen to the radio?
Yeah. And I remember when... I guess I was about 13 or so, I became aware of music. You know, kids will go through this stage, all of a sudden, oh, they have to have all the records and so forth. And at that time, they had the Hit Parade, and they had this magazine, and I knew every song that ever came out. I knew all the words to it.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, and then I started to collect records, and so I would go to my room and I'd either listen to the radio or I'd play my records. You know, I'd just shut the door and just go off in my own little world.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very conscious of music.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and I had some music lessons, too. So I think music was sort of, you know, an outlet in
mm-hmm.
some ways.
Mm-hmm. When you were growing up, did you ever work with tools or mechanical things at all in the house? Or did your father have a set of tools? Or?
No, there was, he had some tools, I think, sort of out in the garage. But I don't remember him doing too much until, and as far as my awareness of tools go, it wasn't until I took that woodshop class in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then that sort of, oh, golly, the table saws and, oh, sanders and things like that, I became aware of that. But I didn't do too much more until, oh, heck, I was a lot older. But I always did a lot of things with my hands. And then when I got married, you know, it was always, you know, needlework as far as working with my hands. And see, when Josh and I were married, we lived a year in Utah, and then we came back out. Well, we came back out to the West Coast. We lived in California, and then later on, I started taking night school classes, and I got more, you know, aware of crafts and
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess as far as working with tools, and outside that job I had during the war, it hasn't been until just recently I've, you know, done that much with tools.
Mm-hmm. Now, with growing up, did you ever have any idea of sort of like what your life would be like in the future? Did you have any ideas of what kinds of things you wanted to do?
Oh, yeah, I always dreamed about that. I remember I had a burning desire to be I wanted to fly. And I was aware of that when I guess I was about 13. I always wanted to fly a plane. I thought someday I'm going to be a test pilot. Oh, I wanted to fly in the worst way.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started college, I took aeronautical engineering. And I was going along pretty well in that, and that was up in Seattle. And then, okay, we were transferred down here to California. And at the time, okay, up in Seattle, I was going to Seattle University, and that was run by the Jesuits. And, of course, they encouraged me. That was very encouraging. So when I transferred down here, and I said, well, what am I going to do about a school? What can I go to keep on with this? And they told me, well, to contact some priest down at Loyola University. And when I talked to him and told him what I was doing, no, women just don't do that sort of thing. No way. This is ridiculous. You should be taking something that will give you education for the home. You don't belong in engineering, math. Forget it. And so just completely, I'm just crushed.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't take engineering anymore. So I switched over to math. Finally wound up in biological science. And, oh, yeah, but I did learn to fly, except I had to sneak out to an airport up in Seattle and do that because my mother didn't want me to learn to fly. She encouraged me up until I actually wanted to take lessons. And then, oh, no, my daughter in a plane, good grief, girls, don't do that. Supposing something happened to you. So I used to sneak out to Boeing Field on Saturday saying I'm working overtime.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, oh, for me to fly, I wanted to join Women's Air Force Command. I wanted to go into that. She wouldn't sign the papers for it. Oh, bad. I just wanted to fly.
Mm-hmm.
So then, okay, women don't fly, so I had to think of something else. But I used to think of a lot of things that, you know, I always thought I'd like to do. But
mm-hmm.
I think flying was the one thing that I just, oh, boy, fly
mm-hmm.
planes, that would be.
Did you picture yourself as working or having a career when you were going through high school?
No, you know, I don't think I ever gave that much thought. I never thought about getting married and having children, daydreaming about that or anything. Just, you know, it was just, life was just that day and nothing in the future or anything. And particularly, I don't remember ever dreaming about doing too much.
Mm-hmm. What year did you graduate from high school?
1943.
Yeah. And had you worked at all? You had mentioned a library job.
Yeah, well, I had that part-time library job, and then was, of course, babysitting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, I think I did have a couple part-time jobs, you know, say, like during Christmas time in a department store.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's about all I did up until about that time.
Mm-hmm. When you had those part-time jobs, would you keep your paycheck, or did you?
Yeah, I got to keep it.
Uh-huh.
Spent it frivolously. I was never educated. Well, you should save part of it or anything.
Uh-huh.
I could just go and just throw it away on everything.
When you were so when you were in high school itself, you'd mentioned this. There was a class, a shop class that was especially for girls.
Yeah, they gave the senior girls. It was like, you know, the last, you know, semester just before they graduated, and you know, not everybody, they didn't force us to take it, just whoever was interested, and it was the idea that they told us, well, you could make something, get used to machines, and that way, you know, we'd be used to the noise, and of course, well, we were just going to go to work in an aircraft factory, and I mean, what else are you going to do? You're graduating, this is during the war, well, of course, you're going to go help your country and go to, you know, a defense job.
That was a Catholic?
I went to a Catholic university, but that was just a plain old everyday high school at the time when we had that. And, well, some girl worked on the lathe, because I think, oh, there couldn't have been maybe 20, 25 at the very most. I don't even think there was that many, because it was amazing what was accomplished in the class. Some people worked on the lathe, others, there was another girl and myself that made cedar chests, and they were pretty good-sized cedar chests. They were like about 36 inches long, maybe, and about, oh, a little over a foot deep, I guess, and maybe again, about 18 inches the other direction. And, you know, I put the hinges on them, a lock and everything, and it was quite a big accomplishment. You know, I tell people, oh, I made a cedar chest in high school, and you did what? And, you know, it's just, I guess, just not done. But when I understand that was the last time that class was ever offered, I guess the shop teacher must have quit and never going to have a bunch of girls in class again or something.
Did the girls seem very nervous about working with tools and things in the class?
Well, some of them, you know, like, oh, what do I do, you know, this sort of thing. But I don't remember too much of that, especially the ones that worked on the lathe. They just took to that like a duck to water, because I remember one girl, she made several sandwich trays and bowls, and, oh, they thought that was great. And because some of them were so enthused on that, you couldn't get close to it. They just had the lathe, and so I think that's why this other girl and I decided, well, we would make cedar chests, because nobody was close to the table saw and those other things. And the shop teacher was exceptionally helpful.
Do you remember how you felt about being in the class?
Loved it. I just, oh, that was the greatest class that anybody had ever invented. And I've often thought, why don't they do that more often? I would love to go back and just major in industrial arts and do things. Oh, that was my cup of tea.
Did, now, of course, sometime, I guess, when you must have been a freshman or so in high school, the war started. Do you remember?
Let's see.
Or maybe a sophomore.
Okay, when that started, we were up in Washington again. 1941, we had just come back from, well, just a few months before that. So we were in Louisiana. And my father was due to retire about then. And instead of him retiring, they just, well, gave him his retirement papers in one hand and commission papers in the other, and they called him in on his officer's, you know, officer paper, officer's commission, or whatever you call it. And I was a junior in high school at that time, because I remember coming out, oh yes, and he'd taken like a 2 or 3 months furlough just before that retirement. So he had gotten a job, and he was supposed to be the head of this boys' school. It was on Bainbridge Island. And at that time, it was called the Puget Sound Naval Academy, and they had like a couple of dozen boys. It was one of these things that was just struggling to get along. And so he just went from one uniform over to this other. It was a naval academy, so he had this naval uniform. And we would eat in the dining room of this boys' school, and we came out for breakfast that morning. We were standing around just talking. It was a beautiful day. And when someone says, oh, have you heard the news? Oh, the Japanese, you know, have hit Pearl Harbor. And it was just, okay, like I said, the mid-year of my junior year of high school.
Yeah, I see. So that would have been like the fall of that school year.
Yeah.
Did that have a big effect on your family with him being in the service?
They called him in right away, and he had to go to, you know, he had someplace to report. And then making him an officer, they sent him to officers training school down, let's see, Camp Roberts here in California. So he was gone for a while. And then naturally he had to quit that job. So we moved from the island and, I guess that took a few months because we were finishing that year on that, on Greenwich Island. And then we moved that summer to Auburn, Washington. And by that time he'd finished officer school, so it really caused, you know, some disruption of family life. He was away for several months. Mm-hmm. We moved, mm-hmm. and then my mother went to work for Boeing, and so it was just she and I for a while. And then he came back, and he was stationed at the port of embarkation in Seattle, so we stayed there for a while. Let's see, I finished my senior year, and then I started my fall quarter at university, in college, and then we were transferred and we moved again. Mm-hmm. So there was quite a few moves when we thought everything was going to be quieting down.
Mm-hmm. So, but he stayed in the States?
Yeah,
Now, you mentioned your mother went to work at Boeing.
Yeah.
Okay. When was that referred to?
That was in my last year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to me, but I remember the two of them going off in the morning. I think so. She must have had a job near him,
mm-hmm.
and then she must have quit and went over to at Boeing. That's very vague in my memory, because
mm-hmm.
I know she went to work with him. She'd come home with him, and then but then there was a job at Boeing that came in there someplace.
Mm-hmm. Then you were mentioning that the high school would. Class part of that was with the idea that people would be going
yeah.
to work at
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did, in the high school, were there things that happened at the school that were related to the war? I know in some of the schools they had, Red Cross drives and bomb drives and those kinds of things, and I was just wondering if that happened up there, too.
No, nothing like that. Every once in a while a boy would leave in the middle of the year, he was going to go into service and then wouldn't finish high school, but that would be about... That was about the only thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and we had to cut down on lights and, pull the shades, that sort of stuff. But that was about the extent of it. Never got involved with bond drives or blood drives or anything.
Mm-hmm.
We were just sort of, I think we were very protective. We were just away from it. Outside of my father being in service, I was about the only association at that time I had of that.
Mm-hmm. Did you think about going to work at Boeing after your mother?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was just too young to even fathom any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think about that until we came, we moved down here because my father was transferred down to San Pedro.
Mm-hmm. Did she, do you know why she took the job at Bond?
No, I don't. She used to do an awful lot, and I think she just probably got bored at home or something or other and decided she'd go to work.
Mm-hmm. So you graduated from high school, and then did you immediately go on to college? Or?
Went to work that summer, and then the following September, I went to college.
Mm-hmm. And the work that summer was?
That was when I was in the working at that library, just part-time.
Uh-huh. And then you went, so you never worked at Boeing in
no.
Seattle at all?
No.
Uh-huh. And then what college?
I went to Seattle, it was Seattle College then, but now they've changed it to Seattle University.
Mm-hmm.
They've changed their name. I guess, when they get big enough, now they can change over to, being in a university.
Yeah.
Besides, it sounds like it's got more prestige,
You mentioned it was that the Jesuits ran the university. Was your family Catholic?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Reason why I went to that school is that when I went to graduate, they told me 2 weeks before graduation that I didn't have enough units for graduation. I lacked three subjects. I lacked U.S. history, civics, and geometry.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be graduating. And that just upset me quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I told my mother I was never going to set foot in that high school again because they also told me, well, if you're young enough, you can come back a year. And I did not want to go back. I wouldn't go to the high school again. So my mother, trying to console me, told me that she would take me to Seattle University and then we would check with the dean there and see if I needed anything. If I really needed all these subjects.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to him, he said, no, there was no, he didn't foresee any problem that if I did lack certain subjects, I could always make them up there at the school. So that was fine. So I never went back to the high school. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't get my diploma right away. In fact, as I didn't get that diploma until 1969, when for some reason or other, I decided... yes, it did. And I decided for some reason I was going to hassle for that diploma. And I called the local high school anyway, to make a long story short. And my mother got into it, and she said, I don't understand why you want the high school diploma. And I said, because it's the principal is saying, I want that diploma. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, they sent me the form to fill out mm-hmm. for my diploma, and how did I want my name on it? And I decided, well, it should be my maiden name, naturally. Mm-hmm. And in dating it, I never thought I should put down, say, like June, you know, 1943. Mm-hmm. It was June 1969 when I was going through this. So I'm the oldest high school graduate I think that I know of. It came out as I graduated the class of 1969.